Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
High noon in the District of Columbia, points up and down the East Coast. We're very excited right now to welcome in Quan Martin, Commander Safety, to the program. Second year starter. Quan, what up, man? How you doing?
Not much, man. How y'all doing?
We are doing well, man. You know, obviously that was a wild one down in New Orleans. Before we look ahead to Philly, when you go back and think about kind of the chaos of the end of that game, like in the moment, you're so locked in, you're probably not thinking about it. But once you got on the plane or watched the tape or whatever, was there any part of that game you're just like, oh, my God, how did all that happen in the last couple of minutes?
Yeah, man, it was definitely, like you said, it was a lot going on. But really just trying to stay poised in that moment. And you know, that's things you talk about all the time. The winning time moment. So, a lot went on, man, but, you know, we got the opportunity to finish the game out, and we did.
Finally got Marshawn Lattimore out on the field with you guys. What kind of an impact did he have for you guys on the back end, and how nice was it to have him out on the field?
Yeah, man, it was great to have him out there with us. You know, he's been working through some things to get back. But, man, just to have him out there, man, just was awesome. I don't think they targeted, you know, his side of the field at all. So, just to have his presence out there. And now I locked down the side of the field is awesome.
Quad, so, you know, you add Lattimore last week, a former Pro Bowl player, and now you've got John Allen back on the field, at least practicing. We're not sure when Allen will make his return, but sure seems like it's trending that way. What can that do for a defense to add two Pro Bowl players this late in the season?
Yeah, man, it does a lot, honestly. And, you know, this two great players, you know, that we can use this later in the season and, you know, just come out, keep the motor running fast, man, and, you know, just build off of it. And, you know, like you said, just have those guys back out here just means a lot for this team and our defense.
We were just listening to Joe Witt Jr. talk about this defense. He's talked about how it's improved as the year's gone on, specifically the last couple of weeks, some of the numbers being better. What have you seen as a part of this defense that's allowed you guys to grow as the season's gone on and got more comfortable in the system?
Yeah, I think it's, like you said, just being comfortable in the system, just knowing where to be, when to be there, and just knowing what to expect from coach so we can go out and execute the defense properly. So I think that's been a huge part of it.
Talking with Commander Safety Quan Martin here in his second year out of the University of Illinois. Quan, you talked about just knowing what you're going to get from the coaches. How, you know, I asked B-Rob this yesterday in the locker room. Yesterday was Jaden's birthday, obviously, right? And there was a birthday cake and Mikey sang a song. But Jaden was asked, you know, how different does a year feel for you in your second year compared to where this operation was late December last season, where, you know, you're eliminated from the playoffs and a lot of folks are trying to figure out what their future is. How different is this season and how much more are you able to kind of enjoy the moment?
Yeah, I mean, every moment is special with these guys, man. And just having the opportunity to go out there and compete with some of the best against, you know, some of the best. So, I mean, it's awesome, man. It just shows the team chemistry, the bond we have. And it really translates on the field. So we've just been able to take it one game at a time, one week at a time, and, you know, put ourselves in the best position to be successful and you know, just had this opportunity to continue in the postseason.
You can correct me if I'm wrong here, Quan, but you know, when you were drafted, part of the reason that, you know, a lot of people found you as an attractive prospect was your versatility. And in your rookie year, it seemed like you were kind of put all over the place, versus this year, it seems like you've kind of found a spot and had a clear messaging that you're going to be used in this specific way. Is that something that's allowed you to take a step forward in the second year? Because you know, you've had a really good season this season.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely allowed me to play faster. Like I said, it was one of the first times in my career where I've just been able to, you know, play one position on the field. So, I mean, it definitely comes with some understanding of the position, understanding of the game a lot better, and just seeing it from one point of view, and just being able to play as fast as possible.
Quan, I'm curious, man. When you moved here last year, I imagine everything was kind of moving so fast, right? You get drafted, you got to move to a new city, you're from Florida, you play college ball in the Midwest. Now that you've been here a year, like, what do you think of the DMV? You know, I imagine you live out towards the Ashburn area, but get into D.C. periodically. What do you make of the region you're calling home nowadays?
Oh, man, it's awesome. Just a lot to do, honestly. You're not too close to D.C., but, you know, far enough away to, well, if you just want to relax and chill and get some peace and quiet, you can get that. And, you know, good dinners and stuff out in D.C. with my girlfriend. So, you know, we try to get out a little bit, explore when we can. And, you know, just been enjoying it, taking it one day at a time.
Talking with Commander Safety Quan Martin, I'm interested on this, on the defensive side of the ball. It's your second year, but it's like a completely new defense because there's so many new guys. What's it been like going from last year to this year, where you bring in obviously new coaching staff, new front office, but just on your side playing with a bunch of new guys like Bobby Wagner, Frankie Louvu, Mikey, Jeremy Chin? What's it been like playing with that new defense this year?
Man, it's been great. All the new pieces that we added to this, you know, staff, the team, the players, just all around, man, overall has been great. A bunch of great dudes in the building, and, you know, it makes it easy to go out and compete for the guy next to you when you know he got your back. And, it's been awesome, and it's just hard to put in words.
Specific to Wagner, dude, that guy, I mean, his resume, not to mention a Super Bowl ring, but he's overwhelmingly going to be a Hall of Fame player. Does that carry a little bit more? Because I see him, how he acts in the locker room. He's just like one of the dudes. He's always kind of laughing, joking, the way there's always these like constant basketball debates and stuff. Is it, do you ever like stop for a second and be like, damn, that is Bobby Wagner? Or has he just become another linebacker on a pretty good defense?
I mean, you definitely can't look over, you know, his accomplishments, the things he's done in his league. And just to have him here and play with him on this defense has been awesome. He's a leader. He demands greatness, and you know, he gets the best out of everybody around him. So he's a great, great player, great guy on the field, off the field, and somebody you want to be a part of your program.
With the coaching staff, it feels like this year you're playing more aggressive. The defense is kind of trying to force the issue as opposed to just, you know, allowing a bend, don't break sort of mentality. How much has that changed what you're doing on the back end, and how much more fun is it to play on a defense that's playing more of an aggressive style?
Oh, man, this is definitely my type of game. And that's the kind of player I am. So just having a defense that plays the same way, having the guys around me that, you know, thinks the same way, reacts how I do, and it just makes it easy, like I said, man, just to go out there and play fast and have fun and run and hit like we always talk about.
Talking with Commander Safety Quan Martin. Quan, we won't keep you much longer. I know you're gearing up for a big game this weekend. But when you get a second crack at a team that beat you, right? Like that Eagles game, y'all were right there for most of that game, and then Saquon's able to break a couple late. How much do you get excited at a chance to get them back? And how do you guys keep Saquon under wraps all four quarters this time?
Yeah, man, I think that's the beauty of playing a team twice. You get to, you know, fix some of the mistakes that you made before. And just looking back at the tape, there were definitely plays we left out there, really on all sides of the ball. So we've just been able to capitalize on the opportunities that we have to, you know, make plays on the ball, get the ball back to the offense. And, I mean, they got a great group of guys, obviously, and you know, we just gotta all rally to the ball and get the guys down.
We talk all the time in the media about how when you have the quarterback, you know, that can kind of make up for a lot of sins, and you feel like there's a confidence that comes with just knowing if you can get the ball back to your guy that you've got a shot. It seems like you guys feel like that in the locker room with Jaden. How much of a difference does that make when you know you've got a dude on offense that can just – he can make up for any problems that maybe you've made a mistake on defense, but he can make up for it? How great is it to have Jaden here this year?
He's definitely a special talent, man. And like we said, we always talk about getting him the ball back because we know how special he is and what he can do with the ball in his hand. So I think that's always a huge emphasis going into the week, just how many times can we, how many extra – drives can we give our offense. So there's always an emphasis on the ball, man, and, you know, take away wins games.
Hey, man, I know you got practice. I know you got meetings. I know you got walkthroughs. We appreciate you making time for us, and certainly good luck this weekend and the rest of the way.
All right, man, thank you. Thank y'all for having me.
All right. Thanks,
Quan.
Quan Martin, Commanders safety. I looked up how Quan is listed. He and I are listed about the same size, 6 foot, 195. I don't think there could be two different body types that are roughly the same size.
You're not giving yourself enough credit, JP. I think you could throw on some pads and play free safety.
I mean, I'm already giving myself a little credit by claiming the full 6 foot. I'm like 5'11 and 8 tenths. Yeah, it's pretty interesting because – Quan looks a lot better than me with his shirt off. I can promise you that.
Well, and I was curious. I wanted to ask him, and he gave a good answer. When you draft a guy, like, he's really versatile. Remember last year when you draft this guy in the second round, we're talking, is he going to play safety? Is he going to play in the nickel? Is he just going to play corner?
Right.
And it seemed like with that defense that he, you know, he didn't get on the field a lot early on last year because it's like, what is he playing? And so you're trying to teach a rookie three different positions, and this year it seems like they just said, you're playing free safety. Go out there and play fast, and I think you see that on the field, that he's not having to think about the different responsibilities. He just goes out there and plays fast, and I think, you know, that's why you're seeing him have a much better season this year. You're not putting too much on his plate.
Well, even if you go back and look at last year, once he really started playing, probably kind of week 12 on, once you got into, like, late November, he started playing really well. Dude, you look at Quan's snap count. None of this made any sense. The whole operation just didn't make sense. It well beyond, like, the Dan toxicity. Like, the way they ran their football operation didn't make sense. You draft this kid in the second round, and then you just don't let him play.
Yeah.
He didn't get on the field for a defensive snap, just a snap, until week 7. And it's not like he wasn't healthy, because he played 90% of special team snaps in week 5 in that god-awful loss to the Bears on Thursday Night Football. So it's just there. So much of it made so little sense, and then you find – you know, and maybe there's an argument by the old crew that would say he just wasn't ready and he needed to watch for a little bit. I find that hard to believe because when he did hit the ground, he hit the ground running pretty much. Quan's a good player for them. He's helped them a lot, I think. You know, the new guys haven't been shy about making changes from the players they inherited.
Yes, very much so.
And I think the ones that are playing a ton, you can tell, are real players.
Well, and I like, too, that what you're seeing, because we get this idea all the time that the NFL is just all offense, and it's not. You know, there's quite a bit of offense. There's been a lot of rule changes. We get all that. But everybody just seems to get this idea that when you're playing defense, you just can't force the issue anymore. It's just all reactionary. And that's just not the case. Like, you look at the way they're playing defense this year versus last year, you're essentially just turning Frankie Louvu loose to go get the ball. I love that style of defense, and I think you're seeing a lot more guys that fit that style than a style that sits back and just kind of lets things come to them. They're forcing the issue, and I think when you look at the scheme, I think there's a lot that's solid there. I think they're going to upgrade the defense. They're going to add some guys, probably upgrade corner and stuff in the offseason, but I really like what they're doing defensively this year, where they're not just letting the other team dictate. They're doing some dictating as well.
Totally. I think, you heard Quan say it there, kind of run and hit mindset and play fast, play violent, play downhill. And I think for so long, this team has lacked an identity. Like, I just saw this Schefter reporting that it looks like even the dude Guerrero is going to be out for the Niners this weekend. So they're going to be on their sixth-string running back at this point. I mean, this guy that's up next is Pedro Taylor, who I can't imagine probably was even on their practice squad to start the year.
Yeah.
But they have such an identity, just from a straight fantasy perspective, because I'm in the fantasy playoffs this weekend. No big deal.
I lost because stupid Jonathan Taylor dropped the ball at the one.
No big deal. I'm in two leagues. I'm in the final four in both, Toby. But I picked this kid. I picked Taylor up 2 weeks ago. I will at least have a legitimate contemplation about playing him solely because he's a Niners running back.
Yeah.
And you know what that means. They're going to be physical as hell. One cut go backs. And I think if you look at what Washington is building, particularly defensively, because that's where you can kind of establish an identity, is everybody plays downhill. Doesn't mean they're making every play. Doesn't mean they're getting to the quarterback all the time. But there is a clear mindset to be physical and try to establish that in every ballgame.
Well, and I love, too, it goes back to what Adam Peters did a heck of a job doing this offseason. When you sign guys, they need to fit what you're trying to do. Think of the guys they signed this offseason. Bobby Wagner is a great vet, great leader. He's a run-and-hit guy. Frankie Louvu is the epitome of a run-and-hit guy. Jeremy Chinn is a run-and-hit guy. Mikey Sanristil, even though he's a smaller corner, he's a run-and-hit guy. Quan Martin, we just talked with him, he's a run-and-hit guy, even though he's not the biggest safety. So I think what they've done a good job is finding guys that fit and then building that identity off of that. That, to me, is good coaching, because so many times in the league, you end up with guys that they're good coaches at their scheme. They're good at what they can do, but maybe they can't get the players to fit. This time, what they've done a good job of is Joe Witt and Dan Quinn are building their scheme. They're doing what they need to do, creating that identity. They found guys to fit, but they're also making adjustments as the year's gone on, because it feels like this defense that you saw or you're going to see this weekend against Philly is not the same defense you saw week one. Same thing on the offensive side. The same offense you saw week one is not the same offense you're going to see as the season goes on. That's the beauty of an NFL season. It's a living, breathing thing. It changes week to week.
It's and an this coaching organism,
this coaching staff, unlike previous ones, evolves. Other ones, it just seemed like they tried to run the same stuff over and over, and eventually it gets stale.
Well, we're certainly hoping it evolves, right? We're hoping offensively they evolve. I think defensively they've really improved. Offensively, they probably peaked week three, week four, since he
but they're
Arizona.
Not bad, right? Like, there's some stuff where they probably
I
come back to the
agree
pack.
With you, but like the second half last week was bad.
Correct.
So one thing that I think is vital and we'll know soon enough is, was the second half, was the lack of the run game, which was apparent, a Tyler Biadasz thing or something bigger? Because in two of the last three games, go back to the Dallas loss and then that New Orleans game, they weren't able to run the ball.
Well, and I think you can go back to four of the last five. Their three-game losing streak, and last week, that was the issue, was the interior O-line, even when Biadasz was out there. Obviously, last week, he's not out there, and I think that had a huge impact. But when they're not able to run the football, that's the crux of their offense. And
when
it really slows
them down.
When
everything has to go to the edges, it is when they have big trouble. Now, they ran the ball decently against
Tennessee, they were good.
Well, and in that Dallas loss, they finished with a .145. Now, I don't know.
But I think what you saw in that losing streak is even when sometimes they could run the football, because the interior struggled, Jaden didn't look comfortable as well.
Yeah,
and
sure.
I think that's what you saw the difference.
I mean, that'll happen with any quarterback, too.
Absolutely. And what's crazy is you look at what that Tennessee front has. They have Tavondre Sweat and Jeffrey Simmons, and they were able to own them. I mean, the first run of the game, you saw B-Rob just take it untouched.
Now,
so I need to get them to get back to that.
What's
going to
be really interesting is Biadasz was clearly hurt down the stretch there. Then he gets the bye week. Then he gets sick.
Yeah.
So, like, we haven't seen ideally. I saw him yesterday. Talked to him for a second. He was actually headed to a doctor's appointment. I'm also really curious to see Cosme. I'm telling you, the O-line is always hanging out together. Like, those guys exist together. And he looked pretty sick, too. Coming out of New Orleans Sunday night. I know he got a DNP on Wednesday with an illness. Like, I very much think those things are related. I thought he looked very – I thought Sam looked like he felt poorly in the locker room Sunday night in New Orleans. So that's another really interesting thing to watch, I would say. Also, I don't know if you saw this. The Eagles gave damn near their whole offense a day off on Wednesday. And, I mean, it was almost all rest. Dude, Saquon got a rest day. Mekhi Becton got a rest day. A.J. Brown got a rest day. Landon Dickerson got a rest day. Lane Johnson got a rest day. Cam Jurgens got a rest day. Mailata got a rest day. Hey, Devontae Smith got a rest day.
If there's a team that deserves it, Philly's been rolling.
Sure. Maybe they've been doing this all season, and Wednesday is the day you give rest days. Like, I totally understand it. But you've also got, it seems like Chin is kind of making a lot more progress than I would expect, but Ertz didn't practice yesterday. I kind of find it hard to believe we see Ertz on Sunday, but maybe you get Chin back.
What do you think is the fix there? Because last week it didn't seem like they had anybody really fill in. Like, you had Sinnott a little bit there, Bates a little bit more involved. Like, they don't. It seems like Sinnott is not to the point yet where they would trust him to be the number one receiving threat at tight end.
Dude, they're still going to run a lot of 12. Like, they're just going to run that personnel package, especially. I mean, I assume KJ Osborne's up and running this week.
Yeah.
But they're going to have to. You're just losing bodies all over the place that is going to force you to make some decisions. And maybe just being on the field that much more, there should be an inherent snap count jump for Sinnott. And I recognize fans don't appreciate what Ertz is doing, but his route running is tremendous, and that's why he keeps getting open.
Absolutely.
That's why Jaden keeps going to him. And maybe just by getting more work on the field, more opportunities, you see Sinnott emerge.
Well, and I'm curious if they change things a little bit, because Ertz, like you said, is that heady veteran that can stem routes and knows where to sit in the zones, and he maybe doesn't give you any yak, but he's always open, it seems like, as a security blanket. Sinnott probably doesn't have that yet, but if you hit Sinnott on like a 2-yard drag, he can turn that into a 15-yard gain by breaking a few tackles, which Ertz isn't doing. So I'm curious if they change a little bit with what they're doing at the tight end position this week.
You got to evolve, man. Got to evolve. Also, you got to know what the weather's going to be. Doug Kemmerer joins us next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our next guest, Doug Kammerer, chief meteorologist at NBC4, WRC, News 4. It's got 100 names. And Doug actually requested this song. I don't know if you know this, Toby, but Doug's a big car guy and actually has a lowrider.
I love it. I love it.
Isn't that right, Doug?
Yeah, and I can bounce it at certain times, depending on, you know, depending on my mood.
I want to start here. When I left the studio last night at like 9:15, the weather absolutely sucked. It was just cold and rainy. And you told me it was coming. And this is unfair to you. I'm gonna tell you that up front. But when I get stuck in really bad weather, at least mentally, I get a little bit mad at you.
Okay. well, you know,
is that fair?
You know, yeah, sure. That's fair. That's fair. I'd be upset at you if you were beating me in our fantasy pool. But since I'm winning, I'm not upset at you at all.
I think I'm in DFL, dude.
Right.
And I blame Pete Haley because he and I run that team together, and we've been awful all year. Mitch Tischler too.
It's been funny. It's been interesting.
Yeah. All right. Let's get down to business, Doug. Obviously, you are the expert. Sunday's game looks cold, cold. The first batch of tailgaters. They're getting there at like 7 a.m. Like, what are we looking at here?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that time of day, any wind at all, and there's going to be a little wind. There's not going to be a lot of wind. That's a good thing. But any wind at all will put the wind chill down to about 15 degrees early on Sunday. So as you're, you know, those tailgaters out there, I just hope they have a heat source or something, because it is going to be frigid on Sunday. And even at the game, I mean, if you're going to the game, I know a lot of people who are going, you know, it's a huge game, right? Huge game for us. It's just going to be a frigid game across our area. High temperatures, probably not going to make it to freezing, maybe 30 degrees. Wind chill is probably going to be something about 21, 22 during the game. So we're talking about some real cold, and the coldest game that the Commanders have played in a while.
Well, Doug, I wanted to get this out of the way real quick. You've worked with JP for years, so you know he's got the best memory. He remembers everything that he's got in front of him. You know, he knows what he's trying to. So he left me with a task. He wanted me to ask you a question in case he forgot, which clearly he has.
I definitely forgot.
He would have opened with it.
Yeah.
We were talking about it on the walk-in. He lives in Bethesda. I live out in this area near Ashburn.
I live right by Doug.
So
right.
He was wondering, it always feels colder out here. Is there a reason that is it actually colder out here, a couple degrees difference? And if there is, what's the reason for that?
I'm telling you, Kammerer, it's always colder out here.
Oh, of course it is. You guys are, it's a little farther away. Of course, you don't have the urban heat island going on there. You've got a lot of natural, you got grass, you got the trees around the area. So you don't have this huge area of asphalt to soak up any of the heat. So away from that, that's where you're going to see temperatures that are going to be on the colder side for sure.
Okay, so that actually validates my theory.
Your theory was right.
Dan Snyder once screamed at me about that theory. that's fascinating. I'm curious, dude, I don't know how often you get out this way, Doug, but actually Hanley was saying that he had to drive out here, and it had been some years since he's been out in Ashburn. The amount of data centers going up out here is mind-blowing. It's constant. It's insane.
And I mean, you got to remember, I'm from Herndon, right? So I went to Herndon High School.
Right.
I lived in the Herndon area. So driving down Route 7, and when you go west and you hit Sterling, after that, there was next to nothing between Sterling and Leesburg. I mean, there was just almost nothing there. And now that entire drive between Sterling and Leesburg, which now includes Ashburn, is just developed like nobody's business. I mean, it's really incredible what has happened in the last 20 years in that area itself.
So there's no chance of pre-sip or anything for Sunday's game, right? It's just going to be cold, maybe a little windy, but no rain, no nothing, right?
No rain. I mean, that's not going to be a factor. But you think about the cold. And one question I wanted to ask, B-Mitch too, what happens as a player, right? When you're that cold, your hands are that cold. How are you keeping them warm? And doesn't that benefit the run game a little bit better than the passing game? So, and if that's the case, how is our run game looking? Because I know we got a lot of injuries. And the Eagles' run game has been on point, except for last week. They've been great.
Yeah, it's those are very legit questions. You know, the teams have a way of trying to stay warm. And for, like, football cold, this is cold, but not that big of a deal yet. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Last year, remember that wild card game was Miami-Kansas City, and it was like negative seven.
Yeah.
Like, that's when it really makes an impact. What they provide the players is they actually have, like, chicken broth, like hot chicken broth in the locker rooms that guys can kind of drink to, like, heat up their inner core. And then some guys have other things to heat up their inner core.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting to see this weekend, but this is probably going to be the coldest game Jaden's ever played in. Kyler Murray got asked. Where are the Cardinals this weekend, Toby? Do you remember?
I'll look.
Kyler got asked, you know, how if he was ready for the cold weather. He's like, man, I've played.
Carolina.
He's like, hey, I played in cold. How cold is it? And they were like 35, and he's like, damn. So some of that is real, but once they get playing, dude, they are very locked in.
Doug, I'm curious.
I hope so.
You have next Sunday against Atlanta, got flexed to Sunday Night Football. What's that going to look like? Because obviously this week's going to be frigid, but hopefully there'll be some sunshine. That one's a Sunday night game. Is that just going to be even worse?
No, because that one actually, we start to warm up as we head towards Christmas, and that trend continues close to New Year's. So I think we go on the warmer side of things, you know, above average. Average high temperature right now is 48. So, of course, a night game is still going to be on the chilly side, but it doesn't look like it's going to be super cold. Actually, we'll probably be a little bit above average as we make our way towards the end of the year. And then it gets cold again in second week of January is the next time that we get some extended cold.
Well, that is great news because I
like the sound of that.
Late. Yeah. I'm going to be live at FedEx at midnight, so I'm cool with it being a little warmer. If the bosses decide, are you coming out to FedEx Sunday night? We'll tag team the pregame or postgame or whatever.
I would love to do that. That would be amazing. I mean, think about that. If we were to win against Philly, and then we're there Sunday night. Let's say that game right there, we could be tied with Philly at that point, right? I mean, if we were to win Atlanta and Philly loses, all of a sudden. We're right there for the NFC East, and that would be incredible. So I would assume there would be some pretty good emotion around that game. I'd love to be there. You know that.
I know. Well, dude, for sure. And even if they lose this week, that Philly, the Atlanta game the following week is likely a not necessarily win and in, but like if you lose, you're cooked situation.
Right.
Doug, last thing. We're talking with Doug Cameron, chief meteorologist over at NBC4, friend of the program. People get steamed up for this. I don't necessarily, but if it is going to snow, let it happen on Christmas because I think for my kids it would be pretty magical. What are the chances of a white Christmas?
No, almost zero. I mean, we got a chance of a couple of flakes out there tomorrow, but that's it. You know, there's a better chance that we see some shower activity on Christmas Day than anything else. I mean, I got Christmas yesterday. My forecast was Christmas Day at 44 degrees. With a chance of shower. So that's what I think we're looking at right now. Not good, man. Not good. I mean, I've lived here most of my life. I've had one white Christmas.
When I feel like I remember one. When was that?
Well, I had one. I want to say like 1983, bro. So I don't think you were there for that one.
I was alive, but I don't remember. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think you remember that one.
I remember one year it snowed on Thanksgiving. Am I
hallucinating? Well, so and we did have one. I mean, 2009 we had one, right? Because we had a storm right before Christmas. So 2009 we still had snow on the ground.
Okay, that counts.
So that technically does count as a white Christmas. I was in Philly at the time, so I was not here. So I don't remember the last time. Besides 2009, we had one here.
Dude, so my sister is coming back from California this weekend, and she's going to be here for an extended trip for the holidays. She's coming with her husband, who's been back to Maryland plenty, but he grew up in Arizona, and they now live in San Diego. This dude's whole life is perfect weather, right? And they kick her. He always says, he's like, oh, gosh, I love it here so much. It's so green. It's so beautiful. I was like, come in the winter, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Will he get a real, like, kind of blast of winter over the next week here just to
– When are they so coming?
I think they come in Saturday.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, you look at Sunday. Sunday is the coldest day. Monday.
Oh,
is
right. They're coming to the game.
Yeah.
I got tickets
to the game. It's going to be ridiculous. And here's the thing about it, too. I was in Florida for a number of years. I lived down in Orlando for a while, Jacksonville for a while. that, you know, they think about your blood thinning and all that stuff. Dude, it is real. The first year I got to Philly was 2003. I'm up in Philadelphia the first winter there, and I'm like, I grew up around here. I'm good with the winters. I grew up in the Mid-Atlantic, no problem at all. That first winter, I was freaking frigid. I was so cold that first winter, and now it's taking me time. I mean, right now I'm standing outside almost without a jacket on, and it's on the chilly side, but I'm like, hey, no problem at all. So, yeah, I can imagine that you said your brother-in-law? Yeah, I think he's going to have some problems coming up this weekend.
Yeah, my dad's calling me all the time. He's a Filipino, grew up there, and then he lives in Florida now. He's calling. It's cold out. It's 50 degrees. Yeah, like, come on, Dad. Like, I would kill for 50 degrees right now.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, right. Exactly. We would leave the newscast in Florida when it was like 50 degrees. We'd be like, oh, temperature's getting below 60. Everybody, time to get out the jackets.
I love the videos when they show the iguanas freezing and, like, falling out of the tree. I mean, sorry to the iguana faithful out there, but I just think that's kind of entertaining. I hope
they
survive,
do the forecast for that now. You know, they do the falling iguana forecast now.
Oh, well, God bless them. Doug, thank you for making time, buddy.
All right, man. You're telling me, you said yesterday on the air that we got a chance this weekend, buddy. So, you know, I hope it comes to fruition. I hope the Commanders can do what they do and get out there and play a great game.
Well, you should watch All Ears on NBC4 Saturday night at 7 o'clock because I specifically respond to some of your concerns that you voiced on the program. Listen, Philly in the last month has two of the most impressive wins in the NFL, beating up on Pittsburgh and Baltimore. They outbullied the bullies. I get that. But it was only 2 weeks
ago. But then against the Panthers.
It was a one-score game, and if Xavier Leggett catches a touchdown.
If he catches that ball,
So
that's what happens, and that's what we do too. That's why we were like that with the Saints, bro. That's exactly what happened. So this game is a huge game. Philly has gotten up for those huge games. We've had a little bit more of a problem with those, so I'm a little bit worried about this weekend. That's what I'm feeling. But you know, I hope I'm wrong.
All right, man. I appreciate you, Doug.
Right,
thanks for making time.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate
it. Cold.
Appreciate you guys.
That's our guy, Doug Kammerer. Give him a follow at Doug Kammerer, Kammerer. Now, before we get ready for Sunday's action, which is going to be awesome, and there's Saturday games, you got to get ready for Thursday night football. Tonight, we got Denver against the Chargers. It's going to be an awesome game. This has serious ramifications on the AFC playoff chase. Let's take a look at some of the same game parlay props you can get on the ESPN Bet Sportsbook app. If you take a look at Bo Nix, who's been really good over the last 6-8 weeks, although he kind of shuffled a little bit in the first half last week against Indy, you can just get him over 175 passing yards. That's not much. Then you go Ladd McConkey, the Chargers' best receiver. He missed a little time, but he is all the way back now. You get him over 50 receiving yards. Then you take Denver on the money line. Just that parlay. You go Bo Nix over 175, McConkey over 50, and Denver, your odds are plus 275, man. That's really, really good money. You throw 100 and make almost 3-1 on what seems like a quite reasonable bet, those same game parlays can really stack up. Plus, if you just want to look at the game in general, the Chargers are a very minor favorite at home. That is quite interesting. That under looks kind of juicy to me. But if you put it all together, same game parlay, that's how you get paid. Download the ESPN Bet Sportsbook app and claim a 30% profit boost to use on your same-game parlay for tonight's game. Odds and lines are subject to change. You must be 21-plus and present within the state of Maryland or Virginia to participate. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. We're less than 10 minutes away from Bleep You Thursday, baby. I don't even know the last time we've had the phone lines open, to be honest. Like maybe Monday or Tuesday? Probably Monday. Phone lines are going to be open. 10 minutes. Get on them now. Make sure Jeff's answering them. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Whoever you're mad at, whatever you're mad at, let them know. Landville has a good question here. And I wanted to circle back to something that Cliff Kingsbury said. I tweeted this out earlier. I think the time has run out on it. Yeah. What is a bigger deal, do you think? The offense has lost a lot. You're not going to have Eckler, you're not going to have Noah Brown, and I highly doubt you have Zach Ertz. But you've got Marshawn Lattimore now. Week 11, you didn't have him, and you might have John Allen. Maybe that's still a week or two away. What's a bigger deal to you, Toby?
It got to be losing the offensive pieces, because if this team is going to win, it's going to be on offense. Like, the defense, I think, is getting somewhere and they're improving. I don't think they're going to be the reason they win, you know, specifically thinking towards the playoffs. It's got to be losing these offensive weapons, because this was already a unit that we were questioning, you know, if they had enough. And now you're getting into the second and third and fourth guys in certain positions, and they already weren't great. So now you're going to depth pieces. So to me, it's that. They're still going to have to find ways to function. You know, I've talked about this before. They live more on efficiency more so than explosion. So I think there's still ways that they can get around it because of the way that they can scheme stuff up, and so much is on Jaden's plate. But when you keep losing guys, at some point, I mean, Terry is so important to this offense. So as long as Terry's out there, you've got a shot. But if anything were to happen there, I mean, it's bare bones.
Yeah, I think Jaden's going to be a lot healthier. Last time they played them was on 4 days. And I really like this from Cliff Kingsbury. He said, this was just an hour ago or so, whenever Cliff talked. The first time we played them on a short week, I had way too much in, and I felt like we played tentative. I didn't call a very good game. Now, to have the full week process, try to make the proper adjustments, and see how far we've come since then. I think that is one for Cliff to own. On a short week, you probably want less than more installed in your playbook, just because it's harder to keep track of stuff. I don't know. There's an era of accountability about that first game from all of the coaches. Whether that comes to fruition and makes a tremendous difference, we'll see. The Eagles are really good. I think they have the best roster in the NFL. I think 1 through 53, they're the best in the NFL, and I don't think it's that close. But 2 weeks ago, the Panthers took him to the wire.
Well, and I know they're different teams from now, because we just talked about how many guys they're missing on offense, but if Washington kicks a field goal instead of going for it and not getting it, they have a lead late in the fourth quarter there. Like, this team was right there neck and neck with them up in Philly on a short week. I like their chances. It's one of those things where if they were playing the Lions, I'd feel a little different. But because it's a divisional foe, a team that you're familiar with, someone that, you know, obviously Dan Quinn's new here, but he was facing Philly as well. So he knows them just as well as anybody else that would have been here. I like your chances. It's Philadelphia. It's one of those divisional games. You throw out the records, as they say, and you just go out there and play and see what happens. It's two great football teams. I don't know why you wouldn't feel like they've got a shot, even if they're banged up and they're missing some guys. Philadelphia has looked like a juggernaut at times, but like you pointed out with the Panthers, at times they played down to their opponents as well. So which Philly team shows up, if they come out and play their best, they'll win. But that's not to say that Washington can't give them a real shot. And if Washington plays their best, they'll be right in it with a chance to win at the end, and you'll take your chances with Jaden.
Sure. We got some arena news. They've unveiled new, what do you call those, renderings, pictures of what they want Capital One Arena to look like. There was a big old press conference. Mayor Bowser, Ted Leonsis, Adam Silver, the NBA GM, NBA commissioner, was there. I think the arena looks dope. I'm all for, I think all the renderings so far have been really cool. I'm curious to see what construction is like. I don't know how they play through construction, but whatever. We'll all find out. I think there'll be some big open spaces, which is dope. Like, I wanted them to stay in the city. They're staying in the city. You're not going to hear me say bad words about it. Other stadium news in Philadelphia, Josh Harris, Philly has passed this stadium to move the Sixers into downtown D.C. This thing seems super contentious. A bunch of people, I guess, like came in and like protested and like sat in the middle of it. I don't know, man. People got a lot of spare time to be protesting stuff. But good luck with all that. Here's what we're going to do. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. It is Bleep You Thursday.